1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
Joining us now on the Phil Hendry Show is the entertainment reporter for the Orange County Courier, Doug Danger. Doug Danger joining us. And tonight, I know, Doug, you wanted to make a statement. Although you are an entertainment writer, your piece this week in the Courier will be political, correct?
That is correct, Phil. As a gay man, as a gay journalist, I've thought long and hard about the election that's coming up, and I am now ready to declare that I will vote for John Kerry. I've thought long and hard about it, and I have come to the conclusion Kerry's the right man for the job. There's just too many unanswered questions about Bush. Did he serve in the Air National Guard? Why is he spending all this money on fighting terrorism when there are so many, you know, homeless and all that? And why are we living in fear? Because simply, wrong-minded U.S. policy forced Arabs into having to commit a terrorist act, even though they might not have wanted to. All these questions are unanswered, and so as such, I'm coming out in favor of Kerry.
All right, now that is a personal statement, but you are an entertainment critic, so what kind of weight is this, you know, really going to carry?
Well, as I've often said on your show, Phil, as a gay man and as a gay journalist, I've had to traverse a very difficult path in this world. One of the things you learn when you're gay, as a gay man and as a gay journalist, is when someone is spending, you know, a lot of money feeding you baloney, when someone's speaking the truth. And as a gay man and as a gay journalist, I've determined that Kerry is speaking the truth. So I want my readers to know that I am gay and I can recognize truth maybe a little bit easier than some people. So that makes their decision easier.
Well, yeah, but ultimately they have to make up their own mind.
Well, ultimately they do have to make. But here's the deal to my readers. See, I'm gay, and I've had to take a lot of static since I came out this past summer. If you can walk up to me and tell me you're voting for Bush and be ready for the consequences, then you go ahead and vote for Bush. But my readers will vote for Kerry, as I'm sure your listeners, once they recognize that I am a gay man and a gay journalist and that I have traversed a very difficult path, they'll vote for Kerry as well.
Well, I don't mean to laugh, Doug.
Well, it's easy for you to laugh because you're on the other side of the phone, but I'm saying that my, once I say that you should vote for Kerry as a gay man and as a gay journalist, I think the discussion is closed because of the difficult path.
Well, a lot of people, Doug, are going to hear what you endorse as they hear what other people endorse, but they're going to vote their conscience. And
how can you be sure of that? How do you know that they're not going to vote for Kerry because I asked them to vote for Kerry? I'm a gay man. I'm a gay journalist.
Whether you're gay or not, whether you're a gay man or a gay journalist,
Well, see, right there's a little bit of homophobia going on there. And I've known you for a long time, Phil. I know you to be a fair man, but there's a little bit of homophobia going on.
You know that isn't homophobic.
Well, it sounded homophobic to me.
What? That I pointed out that you pointed out that you're gay. And I'm acknowledging that, but I'm saying regardless of the fact that you're gay, people may still vote for Bush.
Well, I don't believe that. And that's why we are going to have a special meet and greet on Sunday, right after my article comes out. And I'll be down at the Fashion Square in Newport Beach. And if you can come up to me, and I'll be signing autographs and signing copies of my column, and if you can come up to me, and you can come right up to me and look me eyeball to eyeball and say you're voting for Bush, knowing that I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, then I'll believe you. But I don't think that that's going to be the case. I think we'll get a lot of people out there who want to have my autograph or have copies of my columns. There's a collection of my columns coming out in that book that we're going to be publishing next month by the Courier. And I think most of them will be voting for Kerry. But if you can come up to me and look me eyeball to eyeball and say you're voting for Bush, then I'll tell you what, and you're willing to suffer the consequences.
All right, look, Doug, I am voting for Bush, me, Phil Hendry.
Yeah, I know you say you're voting for Bush. Here's the thing. Are you looking me in the face and saying that? And would you say that to my face?
Yes, I would.
I don't think so.
Why not?
Because as a gay man and as a gay, the thing I've been trying to tell you, as a gay man, as a gay journalist, you know that you would be insulting me, and that's not a chance you want to take, because actions have consequences. I mean, look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I just said Kerry's the man to vote for. Now, you tell me you're voting for Bush. So you go against my 33 years of being gay and everything like that, and you're saying to my face, now, if you're ready to do that...
Well, what do you mean? If I say to you, I'm voting for Bush, and I say it to your face...
No, it's not if you say it to my face. It's will you say it to my face. Because you're standing face-to-face with me.
What do you mean face-to-face? You're talking eyeball-to-eyeball.
Look me in the eye and say you're voting for Bush. After I told you, I've determined that Kerry's the best one. If you can get through that encounter without going off and crying to somebody, then you go ahead and you vote for Bush. But I want you to look me in the eye.
Look, if we get callers calling in tonight and they say that they're voting for Bush regardless of what you think as a gay man and as a gay journalist, then they're voting for Bush.
Are they looking me in the face and saying that?
What difference would it make if they're looking you in the face?
I think it's a little bit different. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. You look me eyeball to eyeball, and you tell me you're voting for Bush. Okay, now that is a far cry from being a telephone cowboy. And
well, this is a talk show, man. To characterize callers or me as a telephone cowboy, this is the only way we have of communicating.
Well, I'll be at the Fashion Island on Sunday, and you look me in the face and tell me you're voting for Bush.
All right, Doug Danger is with us. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. He's come out in favor of John Kerry for president. He's also going to be making a personal appearance this weekend in Newport Beach, signing copies of a new volume of a collection of his columns. He's also got be giving out autographs during the afternoon. So people will come up to you and get your autograph.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, if they're going to vote for Bush, then if they say they're voting for Bush, I want you to say it to my face. Otherwise, I don't believe it.
What's the big thing about saying it to your face? I mean,
what's the big thing about that? About saying it to my face?
Yeah, I want to know, what is the big deal if I go up to you eyeball to eyeball and I say to you, Doug...
Well, you know, you're laughing, Phil. It has a little bit of homophobia.
No, my laughter has nothing to do with homophobia, man, okay?
Well, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, okay?
I got that, but I'm asking you, what's the big deal if I come up to you eyeball to eyeball and I look at you and I say, I'm voting for George Bush?
Well, if you're man enough to do that, okay, then, and you're willing to risk whatever consequences there might be...
What consequences are you talking about?
I said might be. There may not be any, or there might be.
What were we talking about, physical reprisal?
Look, all I'm saying to you is I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've been out since last summer. I've had to travel a tough and very lonely road, as have many gay people. Okay, so we know a line of hogwash when somebody's feeding it to us. And you look me in the eyeball, and you lie to me, then you have to be prepared to suffer the consequences. I'm not saying what they'll be, and I'm not saying that there might be any consequences. But you look a gay man and a gay journalist in the face, and you say you're voting for someone, and you're not voting for him, then you are, you know, somebody who's rolling the dice, and you're sort of playing with the fates a little bit.
See, everything you're saying sounds like a threat.
Why? Why does it sound like a threat? I'm just telling you the truth.
You're saying, look me in the eye and tell... Look, if I tell you... What do you mean lying to you, man? If I tell you the truth that I'm voting for George Bush...
Well, are you really voting for George Bush?
Yeah, suppose I'm really voting for George Bush.
Then you have to suffer the consequences because of the fact that I'm supporting Kerry. The other thing is, don't lie to me. Don't tell me you're going to be voting for Kerry and that you're not voting for Kerry. Because nothing... See, as a gay man and as a gay journalist...
You know, you're plugging that into everything that you're saying.
No, I want to say this, Phil, because I want to get past the homophobia that you got.
And I really resent being called homophobic. Man, you know me for a long time. I'm not homophobic. You know,
every time I say I'm gay, though, you have a comment to make about it. Don't come up to me and tell me you're going to vote for Kerry, because if you're lying to me...
By the same token, don't come up to you and say that I'm voting for Bush, right?
I'm telling you... If you could look me straight in the face and say you're voting for Bush, even knowing that there may be consequences to your actions, then okay, you have my respect.
I've got your respect even though there may be consequences to my actions.
That is correct.
Why would there be consequences to my actions voting for Bush?
Because as a gay man and as a gay journalist, I have told you that John Kerry is my choice. I feel he's the best man to be president of the United States. And as a gay man, as a gay journalist, my judgment, I think, is a little bit better than the average political pundit. Now, that comes from a lot of years of seeing through a lot of horse manure. Now, you say to me you're going to vote for Bush. Good luck. I admire you, but it's the same way I admire a man who might be stupid enough to go over the Niagara Falls in a barrel.
See, that sounds like a threat, because you just...
How is that a threat?
Because you just said, if I say to you I'm voting for Bush, I got the same foolhardy courage as a guy that goes over Niagara Falls in a barrel. meaning I could get hurt.
I didn't say that. I'll tell you this much. I've made my statement. You know who I support. Why would you want to come up to me then and say you're voting for Bush?
Because you just challenged me to do that.
No, I didn't. I just said I'd have respect for you, knowing that you'd have to suffer the consequences.
Well, it sounds to me like you're threatening people, man, and I don't think you get anywhere by threatening anybody. Doug Danger is with us. He is a controversial entertainment writer with the Orange County Courier. Are you understanding what it is he's trying to say, Chris? He says, hey, I'm coming out in favor of Kerry. If you can walk up to me eyeball to eyeball and tell me you're voting for Bush and you're willing to suffer the consequences, that's what he said, then you got my respect regardless of what the consequences might be. Sounds to me like a threat. Doug Danger, a gay man and gay journalist, and for pointing that out, I guess that makes me homophobic. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. By the way, among the reasons he's giving for supporting Senator Kerry, there's too many unanswered questions about Bush. Did he serve in the Air National Guard? Why is he spending all this money on fighting terrorism when there are so many homeless people to feed? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pull your head out of your ass. Plug into the world. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, we're back here with Doug Danger of the Orange County Courier. Now, last week you had a similar appearance, right, elsewhere in Orange County, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Now, you had said in your column...
I challenge my readers, any of you that are going to vote for George Bush, why don't you come out and look me in the eye, eyeball to eyeball, and tell me that. So that day I went out. We did a signing for about 300 people, and I could see people coming up to the table, and they looked like maybe they were going to do it, and then they chicken out at the last minute. See, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? You know I'm gay, right?
Yes, I do, Doug. But why do you think they chickened out?
Because I said to them, I'm gay. Now, you look me in the eye, because they know I can tell if they're going to lie to me or not, and don't you ever lie to me. Now, I'm saying the same thing. That's how confident I am. I'll tell you what I'll do. If anybody could come up to me and look me in the eye, eyeball to eyeball, I mean one eyeball pressed up against another eyeball, and you can say, you're voting for George Bush, I'll vote for Bush too. How's that?
Well, brother, where do I go?
Yeah, you say that now. How do you know you won't chicken out?
What am I going to chicken out about, man? What, I'm going to walk up there?
You can walk up to me eyeball to eyeball even after I said I'm in favor of Kerry?
See, everything you're saying has this hint of, like, physical violence or something.
No, I haven't said anything about physical violence. I'm just telling you what happened. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I'm voting for Kerry. And I said, anybody wants to vote for Bush, come on out. And you look me eyeball to eyeball, press one eyeball right up against the other. And you say you're voting for Kerry. Or you say you're voting for Bush, I should say. And you know what? If you can do that, I'll vote for Bush. Not one person had the guts to come out and do it.
Well, I'll do it.
Well, you'll do it for publicity purposes.
Oh, okay, so I don't count, huh?
No. Hey, Phil, you have a radio show. I'm talking about the people out there that don't have any ulterior motive.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Doug Danger, gay man and gay journalist, who believes that he's voting for Kerry, and if you can look him in the eye and say you're going to be voting for Bush, basically going against him, then he'll vote for Bush. Here is Ken. Ken, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes. Now, I'm a straight man and a straight truck driver, and I've got relatives and good friends that are gay.
And you can look me in the eye and say that.
But what I'm telling you is, I'll tell you straight out. I have relatives that are gay. I have good friends. I even had a roommate that was gay.
Right, you know I'm gay, right?
Let me ask you a question. Are you trying to talk yourself into being gay? Because the way you're saying this is you're still trying to talk yourself into being gay. Now,
wait a minute. Is that a question or a statement? You asked me a question. I'm gay. You know I'm gay, right?
I don't know you, Gay. I don't know you.
I'm a gay man, and I'm a gay journalist. And what I'm saying is, I've been in the closet up until last summer. I come out of the closet, and now I'm saying to people, as a result of the road I've had to travel, like a lot of gay folks have, I've decided that I'm voting for Kerry.
Now, you have not traveled any harder road than any man or woman that dates out of race, that dates out of different religions. You have not traveled any harder road.
Dates out of what town?
Dates out of race.
It sounds like you're trying to talk yourself into being gay.
Weird. Let me ask you something. You started by saying you're a straight man, a straight truck driver. Are you trying to talk yourself into being straight?
No.
Well, if you're gay, why not? I'm asking you, if you're gay, you could come out and say you're gay. Would you press your eyeball against mine and say you're voting for Bush? That's the big question.
Yes, I would.
Eyeball to eyeball.
A different coach.
Even though you might suffer the consequences.
Well, that's the whole thing. What are the consequences?
That you're saying, eyeball to eyeball, you're telling a gay man and a gay journalist you're voting for Bush.
What would the consequence be?
I don't know. There may be none.
Hit me for it?
Or no, I'm not. Well, I don't know. I'm just saying that would take a lot of guts, wouldn't it?
Well,
eye to eye.
I've never been afraid of anything in my life. There's only one thing I'm afraid of, and obviously you're not it.
Well, I don't know that because you ain't walked up to me eyeball to eyeball yet.
Well,
what do you want the guy to do, man? He's in Bristol, Virginia. Want him to drive across the country?
If he wants me to eye to eye, pupil to pupil, iris to...
I got it already. And you want the guy to come out there to Newport Beach, California, and stick his eyeball right up against yours and say he's voting for Bush.
Then I'll believe him, yeah. Until then, I think people are just full of a lot of hot air. And I'm gay.
Well,
all right.
If you're gay, then why do you got to keep repeating it?
I'm out and I'm proud.
How many times do you think you said that in one 10-minute segment?
What?
You just constantly repeat it like you're trying to make yourself believe it.
Believe what? That I'm voting for Kerry?
No,
I'm
that you're
voting
gay.
For Kerry. No, but you told me.
Gay.
Well, you told me you're straight. I'm just telling you, I'm gay. You're straight.
But how many times did
you straight
did I say this? How many times did I say it?
Say what?
How many times did I say the phrase, I'm straight, a man, and a straight truck driver?
There, you just said it.
How many times did I say it?
You just said it right there.
But how many times before that did I say it?
That's about the 15th time.
15th time. I heard the guy say it one time, Doug. You said you're gay and you're a gay journalist. I don't know how many times.
Well, if you guys hate gay people, that's one thing. But I'm talking about the politics of voting for Kerry. Look, you don't like gays? That's your business, okay? But I'd like you to press your eyeball to eyeball and say you don't like gays.
Bubba, I've got relatives. I've got damn good friends that I'd die for that are homosexual. But
how many times are you going to say that?
Okay, look.
They don't sit there and say it over and over again.
I'm just telling you, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
All right, man. We know.
Yeah, but you're homophobia.
Yeah, every time I... Ken, thank you very much. 1-800-449-8686. Patricia, go ahead.
Hi. On this message, I'd like to talk to Doug. Doug,
yes,
I want to tell you that I am a staunch Kerry supporter, but I am absolutely finding the premise that you've called and are talking about on this show to be ridiculous. Idiotic and
I'm
in fact insulting to
I'm
me
a gay man
as
and
a Kerry voter. And I believe that your premise could, in fact, drive people in the opposite direction that
you
would like to.
Wrong.
It
you
is insulting
understand.
To the intelligence.
Are you a homophobe?
Am I?
Yes. Because you sound like you hate gays.
That's ridiculous.
Wait a minute. That is not... Patricia, hold on. I got to go up against a break, but we'll get you coming out, okay? Hold the line. And Doug, you too. And don't start calling people homophobes just because they don't like you saying, I'm a gay man and a gay freaking journalist. 1-800-449-8686.
Freaking.
1-800-449-8686. Doug Danger, who is voting for Kerry, dares you to say you're voting for Bush eyeball to eyeball. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
That ain't cucumber dressing.
We'll be right back.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Back with Doug Danger here for our final segment, talking about being a gay man and a gay journalist. He's endorsing John Kerry for president.
And Phil, you know, the way you say gay man and gay journalist, like you don't like gays. That's the only thing I'm saying.
I'm repeating what you said. You're a gay man and a gay journalist. Didn't you say that?
Yes, I did. But the way you're saying it sounds like you hate gays. The way I say it sounds like I am gay. You know what? Let me explain it to you.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
No, let me explain it to you. You know who Chuck Yeager is?
Yeah, the first man to break the sound barrier. Yeah, Chuck Yeager is a very famous guy.
All right. Chuck Yeager is a gay man and a gay pilot who tells it like it is. He said
Chuck Yeager's gay?
That's my understanding, yes. That's my understanding, yes, sir.
What did he say?
Chuck Yeager said, hey, Top Gun as a movie is a piece of drivel. And he said that all those movies suck. And he tells it like it is. Okay, he's a gay man and a gay pilot. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking gay.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. So if anybody can look you in the eye and say they're voting for Bush, then by God...
And they'll suffer the consequences.
Whatever those are, then you'll go ahead and vote for Bush.
If I believe they're telling me the truth. But if you're lying to me...
All right, let's go to Tony. Tony, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Where's this guy Doug at?
I'm right here, sir.
Hey, listen, I'm coming to California next week there. And I'll meet you there eye to eye, face to face, eyeball to eyeball.
You'll go eyeball to eyeball and tell me you're voting for Kerry?
No, I'm going to tell you I'm voting for Bush.
Well, if you do that, now I've had a lot of people tell me that.
Well,
I did a whole thing last week, and I said, come on out, and you tell me eyeball to eyeball you're voting for Bush. And I saw these people chicken out right at the last
second.
You got
this eyeball fixation with
your
eyeball up to your eyeball. What is wrong with your eyeball?
Look, you know I'm gay, right? Okay? What I'm saying is this. If you can go eye to eye and say to me,
you're crazy with this eyeball. Why can't I just look at you face to face and tell you, hey, listen, Kerry's no good. Bush is the man. That's how I'm going to tell you.
Well,
right
that's
now,
what you
that's
say.
How I'm going to tell you.
That's what you say, but once you get eyeball to eyeball...
Listen, I can go eyeball to eyeball. That ain't no problem, and I'll tell you that.
And you know I'm gay.
You're gay. Well, that's... Hey, listen. Gayness ain't got nothing to do with it. There ain't no gayness around.
I'm a gay man and a gay jerk. You know who Chuck Yeager is?
Yeager?
Chuck Yeager.
Yeah, he was some kind of pilot or something.
Right, he's a gay pilot.
Gay pilot.
And he said that...
I don't know that Chuck Yeager's gay.
Well,
did you see his eyeball? Have you? You got his eyeball too?
You're talking about I got his eyeball. I'm just talking about you going.
You're up with these eyeballs. Oh, look face to face and eyeball.
Hey, because you want to know why? Everybody says they're going to do this. They're going to do that. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Somebody comes up to me and says they're going to do something. I can tell if they're lying or not.
Newport Beach.
Do you
my
wear
eye? I got a big brown eye.
Okay.
Right
do you wear contacts?
Well, as a matter of fact.
Okay, you have to take him out before we go eyeball to eyeball.
Would you get out of here with the eyeball to eyeball? Are you just talking to the guy face to face?
Yeah.
Where's the street down there, Newport Beach? I'll meet you down there.
I'll be down at 5th and Main.
5th and Main.
Right.
Okay.
And I'll be signing autographs. You got to know. You make sure it's me, Doug Danger, gay man, gay journalist.
Okay.
All right. What do you do? How are you going to come out here?
I'm writing this down right now.
How tall are you?
I'm a traveling salesman over here.
But how tall are you?
I'm about, I'm only 5'11".
Okay, I'm 6'3". Now, how are we going to go eyeball to eyeball?
Well, we'll pile the sand up at the beach over
there. We're going to have to get you a shoebox.
Are you guys kidding?
No, do I sound like I'm kidding?
So you're going to get this guy to stand on a freaking shoebox or to get eyeball to eyeball with you and hear him say he's voting for Bush?
That's right. And if he's telling the truth, by God, I'll vote for Bush, too. But I've never heard a guy tell me on the phone he's going to vote for Bush, and then when he finally comes up to me, now he chickens out. See?
You with this fixation with this eyeball, oh, my God, what is with
this
eye?
Going, you know, I would let you talk to me face-to-face, not eye-to-eye. I wouldn't want to pass out from your wild turkey breath on there, okay?
Here's what
we're going to
do.
We're going to go eyeball to eyeball as soon as we can find a soapbox for you to stand on.
Yeah, well, we'll find a soapbox or pile of sand up. That's what we'll have to do.
There you go. Hey, let me ask something. You got theme music?
I don't
know. What are you going to be wearing?
I'll be in a big flannel shirt.
Well, I'm going to be wearing that, so wear something different.
What difference does...
It's cold on the beach.
I don't want us to clash.
Okay, Doug, good luck with Carrie, man. You're going to need it.
Oh, get a load of you, man. I'm gay, and you're telling me...
I got that you're gay. Yeah, like I said, you're going to need it, dude. That cat ain't going to win. The only thing that guy's going to be winning is a freaking ticket home, okay?
I'm Doug Dagger.
Doug Dagger, the Orange County Courier. Yeah, come on down to Newport Beach, man. He'll find you a box to stand on, and you can go eyeball to eyeball. What is it with him, anyway? So all you guys that follow Doug's column, well, now you know he's going for Kerry, so you don't have to think about it anymore. You just vote for Kerry, too. 1-800-449-8686. That's Doug Dagger. Coming up tomorrow night, by the way, Bobby and Steve Dooley. In a moment, a little flashback with Margaret Gray, and we'll take some of your phone calls. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
How do you know Rosie O'Donnell hasn't eaten any children? Have you seen them lately?
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Don't forget our website, www.philhendryshow.com. Get that Steve Bozell t-shirt. Hey, we got to get Steve on this show. What's he doing these days? And vote for Steve Bozell for president. Vote for me or I'll sue you is his slogan. It's really cute. You got to kind of understand who he is. And that is a lot of work and a lot of emotional strain, but I'm sure it'll be worth it. Now, moving on, we have Margaret Gray from our show yesterday. Margaret was on to talk about how her and Frank can't afford to sink any more money into the apartment buildings they own because they're trying to save it for a retirement cruise to the Mediterranean after buying a million-dollar 92-foot sport yacht. And that means she's a slumlord. Here's Margaret.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
You have a problem with your morals, Margaret. You've got it all mixed up. Your husband's dream is to see the Mediterranean.
You know what,
the residents of your apartment
who
building.
Who are you to tell me about my morality?
Wait.
I have been a property owner now for the last 25 years with my husband.
The residents of your apartments have a dream, too.
Yes,
and that dream
has nothing to do with flushing a toilet
without walking through sewage.
Oh, is that their dream? And you know that how? That's
just
a dream.
By listening to the
slime oh my God.
In your
yes.
tone
here's
of
my
voice.
Dream for my life: to go to the bathroom
too
on a toilet that flushes.
Your husband can't go to the Mediterranean. Too bad. You have a responsibility
you know
to the
you
people
know what?
You.
You don't know what it will be like to stand on the bow of a beautiful
sister
motor yacht.
Break. You've got to be fake. You can't be
you know
a
what?
Real human
Let
being.
Me tell you what's fake. You're fake because you don't live in the real world. I live
oh,
in a
God
real
sake.
World.
Stop being so selfish.
I
and
live
look
in a
at
world.
The world. Look at the world.
I am
the world.
You're
worried about your husband who's coughing up phlegm.
You don't have a husband to worry about? You don't have loved ones to worry about? You wouldn't give your last breath for the people that you love? Well, I would.
Well, give your last breath, but don't give him the Mediterranean.
Oh, well, excuse me.
Give
but
your
you know what? Let your husband die in a pool of his own
clean.
Filth, but don't make sure you snake the sewer first.
Shame on you.
Shame on you.
You
know, I've got a
you.
Song for you, and it's called Come Sail Away.
Shame on you.
You know, if you were here right now, I'd a roundhouse kick you so quick.
I bet you would.
I would. I'd come right around with a roundhouse. Just a heel right around.
Because
a windmill kick.
Nothing left to say.
I would windmill the side of your head with my boot.
Nothing left to say that has any merit whatsoever.
I do have something left to say. That's standing on the bow of a Tesla motor yacht.
Low value.
And singing a song that I remember from the 1976 album, which was called, I Believe...
Hey, have you ever heard of
come
that
sail
song
away.
By George Harrison?
Come sail away, oh, come sail away, come sail away with me. Come sail. You know what I'd do? I'd rip that cheap Eva Gabor wig right off of your melon, Cheryl.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
So at one point, Cheryl was singing I, Me, Mine and by Harrison, and she's singing Come Sail Away. It was a real baby boomer cacophony there, a real nightmare of baby boomer memory. There's Margaret and all of her baloney. She'll be back with her campaign 2004 report next week, tomorrow night. Don't forget, Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley will be joining us, and that ought to be something else, baby. And also their special segment, Teen Peer Pressure, with Hal and Viola Levalier. They'll be flying in their plane, man, on their way to God knows where. 1-800-449-8686. Go to the phones. Martin, hi.
Hello, Phil.
How are you?
I'm very good. And enjoying your program this evening very much. And I want you to know you give us many hours of happiness, and we get a big kick out of your program.
Thank you, sir.
Phil, I wanted to call and tell you that we are going to honor you by naming our son after you. And I'm very proud to be able to do that.
And you're expecting a son?
We are expecting a son, yes. And he is due in the 35 days, I think is what my wife Carol told me.
And who am I speaking with? This is Martin?
Martin Eanes, yes, sir.
Mr. Eanes, I appreciate that very, very... So you're going to name your son Philip?
That is correct, yes.
So you're Martin Eanes, so your son would be Philip Eanes?
Yes.
Baba Booey.
What a cornball. Yeah, hi, I'm naming my son Philip Eanes. Oh, my God. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show here. Tomorrow night, it's Bobby and Steve Dooley and Hal and Viola. On Monday night, the Tim Robbins Report will continue here on the Phil. You know, we've been in and out of the Monday evenings because of the vacation time, so we haven't had too many reports from Mr. Robbins, but my understanding, he'll be back with us on Monday night. Bob Bakian is out and about, and Bob, you wanted to report on the death of Richard Butler, the Aryan Nations founder. Is that correct?
That is correct, Phil. I had some thoughts because I had covered Richard Butler and Aryan Nations early on in the 80s when he got the Aryan Nations compound going.
What do you... this man's philosophy was so morally bankrupt, a leader of a white supremacist skinhead group. What struck you most about this man?
Well, I have to tell you, Phil, that he was a man of moral corruption. His philosophy was bankrupt. His entire... political outlook was completely unrealistic, and it was certainly something to behold because the man himself was quite intelligent. And the other thing about Richard Butler is, as profoundly morally corrupt as he was, and as utterly politically and historically ignorant as he was, he made a Cornish game ham with wild rice that was absolutely superb. And I remember sitting many an evening with him, and I would have to sit through all of his tirades about the mongrel mud races and the corruption of the international Jewish banking tyranny. But it was worth it for the Cornish games and the wild rice and the mashed potatoes. It was just something he did. I think there was a butter mixture and there was...
Oh, let me get this straight. Richard Butler, the head of Aryan Nations, made a hell of a Cornish game hen.
Can you believe it? So I would sit there and he would rant and rave about how he wanted to cut off the head of every Jewish person and how he thought all black people were descended from the devil and how he thought that Catholics were a bunch of papist scum. And he would show me the shrunken heads of Vietnamese that he got on the internet. And one time he showed me the skull of a Japanese soldier that he bought off of eBay. But by God, could this guy make a salsa? And I can tell you...
You're kidding me, man. You sit around and listen to this?
Yes, well, it was...
I mean, was it worth it?
It was, yes.
It was that good?
It was fantastic. Are you kidding? And not only that, what this guy could do with pork ribs. Woo! So I would sit there, and I remember just licking my lips and my mouth watering as he would bring out this butcher paper. And loaded down was this delicious stack of lightly seasoned, very lean pork ribs. He did a little bit of parboiling, but then he'd put them on the grill and toss them back and forth. You know how the flame kind of leaps up and a little bit of that pork fat? Oh, holy sweet God. just fantastic. And while he was tossing the pork ribs back and forth, he would talk about how he wanted to open up new, improved concentration camps with microwave ovens for human beings to cook in, for human beings to die in. But man, could he make a blueberry cheesecake. And another thing...
Get out of here. I don't want to hear any more of this crap. I don't care how good a blueberry freaking cheesecake he made. Sit there and listen to him going through that kind of swill.
Did I tell you about his jambalaya?
I don't want to... Richard Butler of Aryan Nations passed on. A lot of you guys don't know who he is. You know, the 80s was the heyday of all that skinhead stuff. I'll never forget it. Oh, my God, was it? It was almost like the country went, just a part of the country went a little bit mental after Reagan was elected president. And I'm not blaming Reagan for it. I'm not blaming Reagan. But what happened was Reagan got in and this gate opened so that everybody on the extreme right came pouring into the ballroom. You know what I mean? It's kind of like if you get a Democratic president, all the screwballs from the extreme left start, you know, all the Green Party. Oh, I can't even call cats from the Green Party equal to, like, skinheads. It's not even near. You'd have to be, what's like the far left kind of guy? Like some butchering commissar, some commie, I don't know. You know what? You get to the point where you're so freaking far right, you're far left. I think a skinhead is... What's the difference between a fascist and a communist? What the hell is the difference? They're all a bunch of genocidal maniacs. Anyway, 80s. All these skinheads come pouring out of the woodwork. And there was a guy by the name of Irv Rubin who just died. And Irv Rubin was a part of a group called the Jewish Defense League. I liked Irv. A lot of people didn't like him. And I know that he committed a crime there. They accused him of having committed a crime at the end of his life there, threatening to bomb a mosque. But what I liked about the guy is he sort of met fire with these guys. He said, hey, you know what? They want to go with baseball bats? I can go with baseball bats. They want to go with boards with nails in them? We can do that. And people didn't dig him because he was like not showing some dignified face to, you know, the Jewish community. On the other end of the stick, there were these skinheads that were running around acting like animals. So... During the 80s, the heyday for all of that. And they had that Aryan Nations compound up there where a bunch of bald-headed guys would run around with swastikas tattooed on their foreheads. And you remember that scumbag that was out here in North Hollywood that shot up that daycare center? He was some guy that used to live up there. And then along comes this guy, Bakian, saying, yeah, it was bad, but man, you should have had the guy's jambalaya? Can we get the recipe? Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Say friends... Grab a copy of the Best of the Phil Henry Show 2003 CD, The Death of Talk Radio. It's available on the website or call 877-616-7445. And the good news, all the money goes to My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless runaway kids and throwaway kids in Hollywood, California. All of the money. Coming up tomorrow night, Bobby and Steve Dooley and also our teen peer pressure segment with Hal and Viola Levalier. And we'll talk more about the campaign and we'll have Brooke Burke's home address and phone number for you. A lot of you guys have been calling in for that. And just a lot of other stuff. And we'll play some strip poker, too, with her and some friends of hers. 1-800-449-8686. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up with about an hour or so, we will have Bobby and Steve Dooley to recap from a homeowner's point of view, from the average American point of view, the average upper middle class American point of view, the average American with a sauna and a pool point of view, the debates tonight. And I want to give just a recap myself, and I want to ask you guys too. But here's what I want to do. I want to try a little experiment. You know how everybody's saying that the debates hinge on style as well as substance, and many people think that it's style over substance, that the American people respond more to a guy that looks good than what he's saying. It may very well be true. I'm not really sure if that was the case in 2000, although people often talk about Gore stalking Bush around the stage of that first debate or that second debate, I think it was. And I don't remember it, but I remember Gore stalking Bush. And then I saw a news clip of it today, and he looked like he was going to walk up and belt him or something. It looked like he was just going to walk right up and smack Bush. In any event, tonight, we saw these two candidates, and I'll give you my read on how, not so much what I think, how I think they did, because I don't think it's important, but I guess some people want to know what I think, you know, it's no more important than what you guys think. And then I'll tell you how I think the American people viewed it. And then here's what I'm going to do. I haven't looked at any post-debate poll yet, and I know there's a million of them out there. As soon as I tell you what I think the American people think, then we'll go to a couple of news polls and see if I was right. How about that? It might just be kind of an interesting thing. First of all, on the subject of substance, Senator Kerry is an articulate man and was trying to back himself out of conflicting statements that he has made and that he even recently has acknowledged that he's made about the war in Iraq and overall security of the country. The reason why we're focusing on that is because that was the subject of the debate and the most recent debate. And I believe tonight he attempted to back himself out of those conflicts, and I do not believe he did it successfully. Consider the fact that if you have conflicted thinking and you try to back yourself out of that conflicted thinking, you're going to do one of two things. You just show yourself to be further conflicted, or in the best case scenario, you present what he did tonight, and I think it was a very good tactic that he used. He said, there's the Pottery Barn option, which is if it's broke, you bought it. So in other words, if it's broke, you still have to fix it. So I believe that this Iraq war is something that is broke, but you still have to fix it. I thought that was a good point. However, he was never able to extricate himself from the fundamental truth, which was he voted for the use of force. He did believe himself, as I think President Bush pointed out many times, he did believe himself the intelligence that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. And he bought into it to the point where he wanted a war in Iraq. And I don't think he really successfully got himself out of that. He did say, I wanted a war in Iraq if we had exhausted all of our diplomatic and all of our diplomatic options as well as any other option we might have had. The president made a point that we had exhausted the diplomatic options. We had exhausted the United Nations. They'd done 16, 17 resolutions. He also was not able to back himself out of the assertion that this was a big mistake, because if it's a big mistake and you vote as he did to commence the big mistake, and then you say, well, but it wasn't done right, and then you also say, but it was also a big diversion, you are effectively confused in your thinking. You're sending a confused message to the American people. The president, I thought, was really consistent, saying the enemy is in Iraq and was in Iraq. There had been resolution after resolution after resolution. The United Nations showed itself unwilling to fulfill its own charter and its own resolutions. The United States acted unilaterally because it was apparent the United Nations was not going to fulfill its own charter and enforce its own resolutions it had passed over and over and over and over again. More inspections would have meant more diversion from Saddam Hussein. I think the president made a really good point there, and Senator Kerry was not really able to tack any of that. Senator Kerry also said that in Afghanistan, that's where the real enemy is. We allowed him to get away because we would not commit American troops into Tora Bora. We allowed local warlords. The president said that we have arrested 75% of Al-Qaeda's leadership and that we've got them on the run and they know that we're after them. One of the things that Bush probably should have said that was absolutely true at the time of the Afghanistan conflict or the initial stages of it was that we were trying to be very cool on the ground in Afghanistan with the locals. We were really trying not to piss anybody off because we knew, as we know now, that we'd have to bring these people into some kind of a coalition governing effort. So we did, as Kerry called it, outsource the conflict or outsource the tracking of bin Laden and Tora Bora to the warlords who were very strong in that region of the country and along the border. Very strong. You insert American troops in there en masse. You're going to be making some people mad. You're going to be pissing off some people that you need to rely on. So that's the kind of subtlety in combat. And I think the senator made a grand statement about us not using our troops being a huge mistake, knowing himself that that was going to be a mistake, but knowing that it probably would play well. But he said that we didn't go after Osama bin Laden, and we should have. The president said we've gotten 75% of their leadership. We have them on the run. They're in Afghanistan right now. They're pouring over the border into Afghanistan, as Senator Kerry pointed out. Bush countered saying, yes, they're pouring over the border because that's where the war on terror now is. And I thought that was a good point that he made. I don't know whether people picked up on it. The president also, unprompted, said this will be an all-volunteer military. This was not a question that was addressed to him, nor did Senator Kerry bring it up, but the president made a point of saying all-volunteer because the word all over the Internet today is, oh, there's going to be a draft. And that draft proposal that's circulating in Congress was actually authored by a Democratic congressman named Charlie Rangel. Not a Republican, a Democrat. And I make that point because you would think a Democrat supports Senator Kerry. Charles Rangel's a Korean War veteran who believes circulating a draft proposal like this will actually throw some negative light on President Bush. It was not initiated by the president. He doesn't support it, and he said it will be an all-volunteer military. So if you're worried about that, you know, please don't be. Now, that's kind of some substance things, and there were other things. They talked about Korea, and their main point of disagreement on Korea was whether or not there should be multilateral talks, meaning you have lots of countries involved, and the president indicated there's five or six nations involved, or whether you do that in conjunction with a bilateral, talking with the Koreans. In other words, you know, I start rapping about this stuff, I'm afraid I'm getting too technical. But basically this, if you and I are planning, if we're like there's five of us planning a vacation, and we all get together and we go, well, here's all the fun we're going to have. Okay, great. We agreed, agreed. And then I break off with one member of the group and I say, okay, let's talk about the fun we're going to have. It's almost like the other people are going, well, wait a second. Say there's like three of you. Because the only three partners in the Korean talks that are important are China, America, and North Korea. North Korea, because they have the nuclear capability that we're concerned about. China, because that's their geopolitical sphere of influence. That's China's neighborhood, baby. You don't go into that neighborhood and start talking to anybody without them say, excuse me. Woo, hold up there, Yankee boy. The only cat in the Far East that is, you know, China can't put their hands on, that's Japan. Japan's our ally, and it's the other way around with Japan. If China tried to screw with Japan, America would be up there in their face. But North Korea, different story. You got to keep the Chinese in the loop. And to bust off into a bilateral dialogue with the North Koreans, A, pisses off the Chinese, but more importantly, the North Koreans don't have to take it seriously. They got a nutcase for a leader, folks. The guy's got a processed pompadour and wears high-heeled shoes. Where do you think I heard that, by the way? I heard that when I went to see Madeleine Albright speak out here at the Civic Arts Plaza. She has met this guy and said he's a freaking space case. So I think the president made a good point there. You can't just bust off and do bilateral talks when you have to keep the Chinese in the loop. The Koreans, there's no compulsion for them to stay in the... So Senator Kerry made this point about having these bilateral talks, and I think it was just because it was like the opposite view that he felt he needed to take. He also said that we're shouldering 90% of the expense in Iraq and 90% of the casualties. It's true. If you look, by the way, at the casualty rates in World War II, it's not going to really be 90%. The United States lost proportionally far more soldiers than any other country. It's because we have larger resources. But more to the point, the president made a good point when he said we do have allies. We have the Poles. We had the British. After Kerry had said he didn't put together a coalition, the president said that Kerry had disrespected our allies and the soldiers that fought. Kerry needed to kind of backpedal on that and say, no, I didn't mean to disrespect them. The president said, well, you don't think our coalition is worthy. You're disrespecting the soldiers and the leaders of those countries. Senator Kerry said, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it's not an effective coalition. We need to put together an effective coalition. The president countered that by saying, I am not going to be consulting all the time with foreign countries every time I feel the need that we have to defend our country. We can't just get permission from the rest of the world. He even mocked a phrase used by Senator Kerry, a global understanding, is what he said. Before we get into the war, any war, we have to have a global understanding. The president said, I'm not sure I know what he means by that. My job as president is to protect the country, whether there's a global understanding or not. So I think, and I'm being, and the two men exchanged personal, very nice comments at one point. They compliment each other on their families. They shared a laugh about their daughters. And that was kind of a nice moment, but that's more about the style thing that I want to talk about in a second here. And I guess I got a break. So I'm going to get into the style, and then I'll tell you how I think the American people viewed the debate, and then we'll look at any news site, and we'll see what the post-debate polls say. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley coming up tonight with Steve Dooley to give us their view of this whole thing. I am led to believe that Orson Welles is going to join us to recite lyrics from a Linkin Park song. And other little surprises tonight. Tomorrow night, Ted Bell, and we'll be live from Salt Lake City tomorrow night. Ted Bell will join us via telephone from Beverly Hills on our program this tomorrow evening. 1-800-449-8686, world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show tonight. All over the country, people watch the debate. And all over the country, people are forming opinions. Tonight on the show, in addition to Bobby and Steve Dooley joining us from the Western States Homeowners Association in about 40 minutes, and some other little surprises on our program tonight, we're going to talk about the two main things that people talk about after a debate, that's style and substance. So I already talked about the substance of what these two men said. And I would say... And if you're joining the show late, I'm sorry, but I kind of went through all of the substantive points. I would say that Bush won on substance because he made sense. He was clear. His points he validated. Senator Kerry was caught continuously by the president in his conflicting and ever-changing viewpoint of what is an effective way to defend this country. And that's just something you didn't even have to have a debate to determine that. The senator, even tonight, was not able to really back out of any of that. So I'd say that Bush won on substance 8-4. If I was going to go like a 10-point scale, I give Kerry points on substance because he did hammer home, and I thought he hammered it home pretty well, the mess. He kept saying, this is a mistake, it's a mess, I can get us out of this mess. I'm not saying that he made his case about how Iraq was a mess, but I think he scored a couple of points in terms of maybe presenting some doubt in people's minds. Now let's go over to the style thing. It's a whole other ballgame, baby. And it's probably, unfortunately, the way most people in this country make up their mind. It's unfortunate because... basically, we tell our children, you know, you shouldn't judge a book by its cover. It's one of those things we've often said, but we do it all the time. I mean, we're a country that spends billions of dollars in plastic surgery, so we obviously put appearance very, very high on a list of stuff that's important to us, right? Senator Kerry looked really good in terms of style. He had a professorial bearing. He didn't look stiff to me. He looked like he obviously is a polished debater, so he looked like he knew what it was he wanted to say, even though his points were, as I said, conflictive and all over the map. President Bush looked good coming out. He obviously is very tired. He looked like he was tired toward the end. The guy is the president of the United States. He'd been traveling Florida, talking with hurricane survivors, talking to the emergency workers. I mean, the guy's got the job of a president in the middle of a war, in the middle of these devastating earthquakes in Florida, in the middle of, you know, all the stuff that a president has to do. So he did look tired. He also, as we know, the president leans on the podium and is rather informal in his manner. Tonight, his manner was maybe a little too informal. Because the effect, I'm sure, the Bush campaign people wanted to have was to show a stiff Kerry as opposed to an affable and warm president. And I think the president came off as warm, especially the exchange they had about their daughters. They complimented each other, complimented each other's families. I think the American people probably really liked that. That we would welcome that. We don't want to think that these two men hate each other. And they did share a laugh about their daughters. The president was doing his leaning on the podium thing when the camera kept cutting to the president. He has a look on his face sometimes, which people call a smirk. Now, again, I do not say it's fair to judge a person this way, but you have to look at it, man, because that's what people do. It's a stupid way to elect the president. It's an ignorant way to view people, our friends, our co-workers, our family. But when it comes to presidents, for some reason, we do it. When it comes to, like, the biggest job in the country, we don't want our kids judged on their looks. We certainly wouldn't want to be judged on our own looks if we're ugly, like me, you know. Although I think I've got a place in television. I think my kisser still has a place in television somewhere. We certainly don't want anybody to judge us on our appearance so much as on the substance of who we are. But we do it with presidents. I don't get it. It's just something that we do. Because I guess we think presidential debates as presidential elections are kind of like TV shows and aren't part of the real world. They're very much part of the real world, which is the kind of the sad part of all of this. Yeah, the president looked tired to me at the end. But through it all, I think he was still articulate. He was tired, but he was articulate. He did have a grasp of the facts. The only time his fatigue interfered was when he was trying to recall certain things. And you can tell when a man's tired, he has to stop and close his eyes or focus someplace else to bring a fact up. That happened when they were talking about one of the less probably sexy international issues. Senator Kerry, on the other hand, looked very clear, looked very focused, and had a nice bearing to him. I didn't see the guy as being stiff. He looked into the camera. I think he had a look that the American people see as more presidential. A look that's more presidential. All right, now that is how I viewed tonight's election. So on substance, Bush wins 8-4. On style, I think Kerry is going to take it 8-4. Which means it's a tie, basically. But I'm going to say, before I go to a news poll right now, I'm just going to tell you that right now. I'm going to say, just a guess, that the American people give Kerry the slight edge in this debate. I personally believe substance is the most important thing, and in that case, I believe President Bush won the debate. But just because I think that doesn't mean the American people are going to think that. I think on substance, the Bush's presentation was far more compelling. Senator Kerry didn't make he did not make any points on substance. All right, so or maybe one or two, but that was it. On style, though, I think he had it, and knowing the American people the way I think I know the American people, I think style is more important, so I think he won the debate. Now let me go and look in terms of the minds of the American people. Let me look and see if there is any post-debate poll. And I don't see anything right now. Let me just refresh. I'm on Fox, and I'll go over to CNN here in a second. And, Chris, you might do the same thing. Take a look and see if there's any post-debate polls that are out yet. None yet? All right. As soon as we find one, we'll go to one. And then we'll take some phone calls here. 1-800-449-8686. I just told you my prediction that the American people may give Kerry the points because he looked better than Bush. But I don't think Kerry came close to winning this debate at all. The president knows his job, and even Kerry acknowledged he's got more experience at this than I do. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Yeah, this is where I really dig this stuff, and I don't do a political show. I do more of a comedy, a satirical show, actually. It's funny, I saw a guy write an article the other day in... He did an article about satire. I don't know his name. He edits the National Lampoon magazine, so you'd think he'd know something about satire. Now, check this. The guy goes... Dennis Miller used to be a satirist, but he isn't anymore. Dennis Miller gave up his card in the satirist club, right? A real satirist is Jon Stewart. Jon Stewart is a satirist. Now, the guy really never said what a satirist... He said a satirist is someone who makes fun of everything, and a humorist like Dennis Miller is just taking one point of view. And I was shocked because he was so wrong. He was so absolutely wrong. He was actually... This is a guy that edits National Lampoon magazine. No wonder nobody reads that magazine anymore. That used to be, everybody used to read that when I was, like, in the 70s, back when I had, you know, like, flare pants. I never went the perm route. I just want you to know, and I never wore my collars outside of my jacket, okay? I would not do that. I never perm my hair, never put on platform shoes, never put the collar over the jacket thing. I always kept it in. And anyway, it's completely the opposite. A satirist is somebody with a point of view. And I'm a satirist. I have a point of view. But I like talking about this, but everybody talks about it. So tonight, we're doing it because you just saw it. And what the hell am I going to, what else am I going to do? You know, what are we going to do? Get Bobby. Bobby will be on in a half hour anyway. She'll take our minds off of something, I'm sure. And put our minds on her. But I'm never going to make the mistake of thinking that I influence anybody. Just my view that the president won on substance, that Senator Kerry won on style. President won on substance, Senator Kerry won on style. And if the American people are the American people that I've known for 52 years, the people that I grew up with, love, respect, and sometimes really hate, and all that other stuff in between, then they are the people that are going to go with style over substance. And in that case, I think tonight you may see Senator Kerry winning in any post-debate poll. Now, I haven't seen any, so I don't know if I'm right. But that's just my view on this thing. When it came down to the substance of Homeland Security and National Defense, Senator Kerry kept saying, I'll do a better job, but he did not make any point that made any sense, number one, that was consistent with any past position he's taken, number two, or that differed that greatly from what the president is already doing. He had a couple little things to say about Darfur, which is a part of the Sudan where there is genocide going on, and how, why aren't we there? Well, yeah, you know, why aren't we there? I mean, we ought to be a lot of places. He kept saying that we have diverted our resources from Afghanistan into Iraq. The president countered by saying that's where the terrorists are right now. They're in Iraq. Kerry said we should be going after bin Laden. Bush said bin Laden is 75%. The guy's been driven underground. The leadership is captured and the terrorists are in Iraq. But when it came to the style, Kerry looked good. The president looked tired. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Hi, Becky. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, I just wanted to say, I just felt that you're being a little bit too forgiving of Bush in this whole thing, because, you know, even to go so far as to say, well, he looked tired and all that, but it's because he's been working so hard, he's been traveling in Florida.
No, I know, I mentioned that. The man is in the middle of a war, he's in the middle of helping the people in Florida,
Yeah, well, okay.
You think I'm being too forgiving of him, though? I should say what, that he was drunk?
Well, maybe he was. I don't know. But anyway, but the thing is, you know, this is a guy who I don't get the feeling loses sleep over young people dying in Iraq. So I can't imagine that he's really worked too terribly hard.
Why don't you get that feeling?
Why don't I get that feeling?
Yeah, because, is it you don't want to believe this man has a heart?
Oh, I believe that he doesn't. Absolutely.
What leads you to believe that?
Because I believe that he believes that he's part of some kind of an elitist.
Why do you believe he believes that? I'm just curious. I'm trying to find out what it is that you believe and what it is you've been told to believe.
Well, I haven't been told to believe anything. You know, I mean, I'm a very independent thinker, but
okay. Well, tell me how do you draw the conclusion that this man, who spoke of meeting the mother of a soldier who had died, who shed tears after 9/11 on camera? I've never seen a president ever do that. Who talked very admiringly of Senator Kerry's daughters and his own daughters and their families? You know, he may be wrong, but where do you get the idea the guy is a heartless elitist?
Well, first of all, it's not true that, you know, I saw President Clinton shed tears over the car.
All right, so
incident.
President Clinton is a good guy, too.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm a little confused because, you know, this is I feel like maybe I'm arguing with Rush Limbaugh instead of.
Well, now,
instead
see,
of listening
this
to
is exactly what's been going on for the entire campaign. There's no point that can be made that can really back up some of these really slanderous things, so then you kind of go into a personal attack on Rush Limbaugh. You never listen to my show, obviously.
Ever. No, I've listened to your show.
Okay. I'm a voting Democrat.
No, I know you are.
And I'm not Rush. I'm just asking you a question that you can't answer, and so you turn around and call me Rush Limbaugh? I'm giving you time to tell me.
No,
Are you even taking this election seriously?
Do you really take this election? No,
do you? Are you really taking this election seriously?
Am I taking it seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you? Do you? Are you? Then why would you call me Rush Limbaugh? Tell me why you think Bush is an elitist. That's all I'm asking.
Okay.
Why he thinks he's an elitist? Why he's a heartless man, as you said.
All right. Well, because he is. Obviously, you know, well, all the things that everyone knows about him, everybody knows he got into Harvard because his father helped him get into Harvard.
No, not everybody knows that. Not everybody knows that. And you know what? Parents help their kids get into schools. Okay, next point.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Go ahead, next point.
Okay.
Like a parent wouldn't help their kid get into a college.
Oh, brother. Okay, and then...
I'm actually making you think here. It's a little tough, I know, but...
Well, if you're just going to insult me...
I didn't insult you. You called me Rush Limbaugh. Well, good Lord,
well,
that's the biggest insult you could levy on anybody. And I'm not talking about his talk radio ability. It's his weight that's concerning me. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I agree. That would be the bigger insult. So I'm sorry about that. But, well, I don't know. I don't know.
That's the answer.
What it is you're looking for.
I just asked your reasons for why you believe he thinks he's better than everybody else and is heartless, and you just gave me the answer. You don't know.
Well, okay, no, I do know. Because
articulate it for me.
Okay, well, all right, let me get this out. Because he doesn't fund, for instance, No Child Left Behind, because he does send people over to Iraq, not even understanding himself why he's sending them there.
How do you know he doesn't understand that? Why do you say he doesn't understand why he's sending them? I mean, if anybody's confused, Kerry, I mean, you can't deny Kerry's taken 3 or 4 or 5 different positions.
No, I don't believe that at all. I don't believe that at all. Kerry has had the same position the American people have had, which is that, you know, first they believed the faulty intelligence, then they started having second thoughts, and then they were saying, well, you know, this is okay, now we're down to, you know, now we've realized this is a really bad idea. I mean, I think Kerry has got the humanist edge because I think people can relate.
Well, all right, Becky, you called the president a man who doesn't shed tears over the death of soldiers, and you used as your reason the fact that he didn't vote for No Child Left Behind, a program. So you used that as your reason to believe he's a heartless man who doesn't care about the death of soldiers. I submit respect. No, it's not a good reason. If you don't vote for a certain government program, it doesn't mean that you're a heartless butcher of children.
No, because No Child Left Behind,
I disagree with you. Does that make me a heartless person who doesn't lose sleep over the death of children? Of course not.
No.
All right,
no.
So I just disagree with you. But I think what you're saying here is you really want to believe that Senator Kerry is a better candidate, and you got yourself talked into it. I asked you for reasons. You gave me one government program and another fuzzy bit of thinking about Bush's feelings on Iraq. You know full well that Kerry has flopped all over the place on Iraq. Your candidate is a bad candidate. And the Democratic Party, of which I'm a part, ought to be ashamed of itself. And I hope that in 2008, we do so much better, because, by God, we, as a party, we've got a great legacy. But... You just heard, ladies and gentlemen, that lady, a Kerry voter, calling the president heartless but doesn't know why. Said that he doesn't lose sleep over the death of children but couldn't articulate why, other than the fact that he didn't vote for a government program. Said that Senator Kerry's been consistent in the face of utter inconsistency. Everybody else is allowed to be wrong, but Bush, by God, he's got to be consistent. Okay, here is Tony. Tony, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, how are you, Phil?
Fine, thank you.
Yeah, I'm voting for Bush, and the debate is not changing that. But, you know, I have to admit, I thought Kerry did a lot better tonight.
That's not what I said.
He was...
That's not what I said.
No, I know what you said. You said that in style he did better than Bush, not
right.
in substance.
Not in substance.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to disagree with that because a lot of questions posed to Kerry, he didn't answer them. He just turned it into an attack on Bush.
Right.
But it was an effective attack in that he was able to articulate himself very well. And Bush, I felt, was sort of on the defensive most of the night rather than being able to turn it around and get offensive on Kerry.
Yeah.
But like I said, it has not changed my mind that I think Bush is the right man for the job, at least at this time. you know.
Right.
It's just unfortunate that there is a lot of ammunition to be able to attack Bush because the war hasn't gone as well as we had hoped,
well,
at least
yeah.
in Iraq.
You know what? Senator Kerry, though, said tonight that he's going to now, if I'm hearing him, he's now going to put more resources militarily into Iraq. He's going to try to sit down with a summit of nations to try to get consensus, which I don't know what kind of consensus he's going to get from the, an international community that already said we shouldn't be there. He's going to beef up troops along the border of Iraq. He's going to put more troops in Afghanistan. So if cats that are voting for him want a withdrawal from Iraq, man, not only are they not getting it, it sounds like there's going to be a redoubling of the effort militarily, along with what he says will be some kind of a summit that the president clearly said won't happen because these people are not on board with our action in Iraq.
No, I mean, if you listen to what he says, he's speaking out of both sides of his mouth because, for example, he will criticize Bush for only talking to the Koreans about their nuclear weapons buildup. That they'll criticize that all Bush wants to do is to talk about it and have these committees and things.
Right.
But at the same time, they will criticize Bush for not talking enough to the Iraqis and going in there and doing something about it.
All right, man, thanks for calling. Yeah, that's the whole, you know, how come you're talking to the Koreans? Why don't you do something about them? Well, I thought you didn't want it. You wanted us to talk. I mean, you didn't like us not talking in Iraq. Kerry could win this election simply because he came off, he may come off again as a really good-looking guy, but he said nothing. And if you watch the debate, if you actually heard the debate, you know what happened. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, we called it, baby. I'm going to get out of this gig and start getting one of them phone lines like that chick from the Bahamas, whatever she was. What was that? She was in Grand Cayman Island or something? Lady Bafwa? Because I'm picking it, baby. I mean, how many things we predicted on this show? I told you they'd bring up Kerry's Senate testimony way back last year. They did. I told you the dean would drop out of the race. They did. I told you all kinds of stuff. I just told you my perception of the American people would choose Kerry as the winner of this debate. They did. And why? Because they liked Kerry's style. That's what voters pick. Forget about whether or not we want ourselves to be judged on our looks or on our manner. That's how we pick presidents in this country. Hey, you know what? It's a pretty good country, man. Maybe it's a good way to pick a president. I don't know. John Kerry, according to ABC News, my mother used to say, consider the sword. Anyway, John Kerry won the first debate and with it a shot at reinvigorating his campaign for the presidency. But in the first blush, vote preferences among viewers were unmoved. Now, what that means is they feel Kerry won the debate, but they haven't changed their voter preference. Among their voting preference, I should say, among a random sample of 531 registered voters who watched the debate, 45% called Kerry the winner, 36% said it was Bush, and 17% called it a tie. It was a clean win for Kerry. Independents, by a 20-point margin, said he prevailed. Moreover, while 70% of Bush's supporters said Bush was the winner, considerably more Kerry supporters, 89%, said their man won. Who won among debate viewers? Kerry, 45%, Bush, 36%, tie, 17%. As is customary, the debate did not immediately change many minds. Bush's support was 50% among viewers before the debate and 51% after it. Kerry, 46% before, 47% after. Ralph Nader had 1% before and a tad less than after. Which means Nader voters left and decided to split their vote between Bush and Kerry. This kind of outcome is typical in presidential debates, which tend to reinforce viewers' preferences rather than change them. But the debates, an essential window on the candidate's style as well as their substance, can affect the race more subtly as voters move toward their final judgments. The results of this survey are not among all registered or likely voters, instead they are among the... There you go, baby, I told you. And on CNN, it was even more glaring. CNN, oh no, excuse me, this is what is called a quick vote. This isn't really a, this is not a scientific vote, so I probably shouldn't give it to you. It's people just clicking their little preference on a box. Says here, Kerry won 78% to Bush 18%. I think that seems like somebody was jamming the voting there. Here is, I got Kerry. Hi, Kerry, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hey, I appreciate you taking my call.
Yeah, no problem.
I like your results. I'm not going to say that I agree with what you said before the results. I do believe that we are a society that bases our decisions on looks and style. But I want to believe that finally the American people are seeing that we need something different. And that is a president that doesn't speak in bumper stickers. And that's basically
what he did
tonight.
Bush?
That's Bush.
They want a president who doesn't even know what he's saying?
He does know what he's saying.
And oh, he does?
Can,
well, where do you get
join
that?
The spin. to be honest with you, before the debate, I went in independent. I went in thinking I'm going to watch this and make my decision on what I see. And I'm really tired of the same stuff that he's repeating, and that being Bush.
And you are going to embrace a man who changes with the political winds, Kerry.
That's not true.
It's not true?
No.
How do you figure it's not? If you were truly independent, how do you figure it's not true that Kerry said he supported the effort in Iraq, then he calls it a major mistake? He says it's a major diversion, and yet he says he's going to commit more troops to it. He says that we should have more troops on the border, and then he says that we've got too many men in American uniform over there. Tell me where this guy stands.
Isn't he talking about increasing the Iraqis by bringing them out of Iraq to train them in a safer environment, to train them like our own military, and then bring them back into Iraq
versus training them in Iraq?
And have them get beat up on a regular basis.
So you're gonna vote on a guy because he believes the exact same thing the president does, he just wants to train him here as opposed to there?
He's not doing that, though. Bush isn't doing that.
Bush is training. They are training them. They're training soldiers and guard. Yes, they are training them. And you want to vote for Kerry because Kerry wants to transport them to America.
Mother out there with an 18 or 19-year-old that doesn't think there's a draft coming, they need
there is the, and thanks a lot for calling, Democrat. Yeah, you weren't independent. There's no draft. Bush said it. Boy, these people are desperate. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449. Now, Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.
Bobby and Steve Dooley will now join me from the Western Estates Homeowners Association to get an American homeowner's view. Parents, they have three boys that are currently in, I think, middle school and high school. Mr. Dooley owns his own landscaping business. And Bobby Dooley is the president of the Homeowners Association there. And Bobby, thank you for joining us. You guys watched the debate?
We did, Phil, yeah.
And can you tell me your first impression?
Well, our first impression, first of all, as a mother, you said something that has been on my mind, and that is certainly our sons going off to war or the possibility of them being inducted into the military of the United States of America. That's a concern. The other concern that I had in watching the debates, and I was talking to my husband, and he really was the first one to notice that the President Bush, and we know he has a history of alcohol abuse, he came off as if,
What do you mean?
I'm sorry?
Alcohol abuse? Yeah, he had an alcohol problem, and he still does, but he doesn't drink.
Well, that was my question, if in point of fact, he was a bit nervous about the debate, or was a little high-strung from some of the anticipation or some of the expectations. It's possible. I don't know if he took a drink because...
Why are you saying that?
Want to tell him?
No.
Well, he looked a little intoxicated.
Toward the end there?
Yes.
Intoxicated. He looked as if he was very tired toward the end, like his adrenaline peak happened, you know?
Well, the impression, though, that he gave me was that he was... under the influence of something. It could be a prescription drug. I don't know. And I think that's something very, very important for the American people to remember, that a president of the United States must be at all times the commander he has to be the commander, as he says. And to go and meet a foreign leader, if you've been...
popping pills.
My husband says popping pills. But
when you say popping pills, there's nothing to indicate that the president had been popping pills or drinking. He was simply, in my view, tired.
But we don't know for sure, and none of us really, and we'll never know. But you can't give that impression as the commander to a foreign leader that you fortified yourself with alcohol or pills before you meet them.
Bobby and Steve Dooley join us. I think we're off point here a little bit to say that the president looked... Are you saying that he was drunk?
No, I'm saying that he... I'm saying it's possible. I'm saying if you have... I'm just saying that it was a bad impression to give to children and to mothers whose sons are entrusted to this man, that he's... was a little tipsy. And
the idea, and I expressed this to my callers last hour...
well, sir, can I interrupt, sir?
Yeah.
I understand what it is that you have to say, and you're the host of the show,
but we're the guests.
We came on as your guest to express our opinion, and we wanted to do that. You having expressed yours, and
but I want to reiterate something so as to give a little equal time. Okay.
Well, but the equal time you're asking for, you already have. I'm saying that the president looked as if he had a drink or something like that. You want to say something that's going to offset that, but you get to do that all the time.
But on my show, it is necessary for me to do. I want to say this, that...
Well, if you're going to steamroll the point...
No, look, I can argue all night with this thing with you, Ms. Dooley. The man works very hard. He looks like he was tired. He looks like... Obviously, the man has been up with the hurricane relief effort. He has been dealing with the war. He is dealing with a multitude of things that a president has to deal with. He doesn't exactly have the time to miss votes in the Senate, as Kerry has, to sleep on his tour bus, to take a couple of days off because he has a cold. He's got to be in the office every day.
Well, I think that's really maligning Senator Kerry. I thought he came off. At least he looked as if he was sober. You know,
but that is to say the president was drunk, and I don't believe that he was.
I'm not saying he was. I'm saying the impression he gave is that he was.
All right, hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association on the debate tonight. They are two average voters, homeowners. You guys own your own home over there?
Well, yeah, absolutely. We have a beautiful home here in Western Estates, Phil, and it is a guard-gated community. And certainly we are Kerry supporters. And
well, that's obvious.
Well, you say that...
What does that mean?
Say that...
Well, it's obvious because you're coming on here talking about the president looking like he was drunk. And so it's obvious to me...
My view, Phil, is drawn from my impression. I was totally undecided before this debate. I was...
You were undecided?
Absolutely.
But this debate has decided you in favor of Senator Kerry?
Absolutely, yes.
Because President Bush looked as if he might be loaded.
I didn't use the word loaded.
Well, you said he looked as if he might have been popping. You used the word popping pills.
Well, I don't know. Again, it could be prescription drugs. But again, you have to...
Well, if you're the commander, you have to look sober.
Well, as my husband was saying, if you are the commander and...
Well, the term is commander-in-chief, by the way.
The commander-in-chief. You have to inspire in the American people a feeling of confidence as well as in foreign leaders. You can't meet foreign leaders looking as if you just bellied up to get a cold one.
You bellied up to get a frosty one.
As if you bellied up to get a frosty one, exactly. He looked pasty white, as if he'd been sleeping one off. And I just think...
Well, I think the president did look tired. That's what I'm putting it up to. I am not saying... Nor am I even agreeing with you, and I think it's slightly slanderous for you to infer that he was sleeping one off. You know, he doesn't have the tour bus that Kerry's got, and even if he did, the guy's got a much busier life these days being president and campaigning. The president didn't have to agree to these debates. They did agree to the debates. He was leading in the polls. This is probably only going to hurt him.
Well, he must debate Senator Kerry. He must, because we want to know what he thinks. And up to this point, we don't know what he thinks.
We don't know what he thinks. He's been saying for 4 years what it is.
You're debating me. Are you going to say what I want to say? That Senator Kerry, I think, came off very as if he was sober. And my understanding is he's a teetotaler. And I just have this concern. I'm not saying the president was drunk. I'm not saying the president had been drinking. I just am concerned that when you are the commander, you know, as you say, the commander-in-chief, you meet a foreign leader with bags under your eyes.
You can't meet a foreign leader just sleeping one off.
You can't, exactly. You can't go and meet a foreign leader after sleeping one off. And I am trying...
The president gave up alcohol use.
That is my understanding, yes.
He has sworn off alcohol.
That is my understanding, but this is a very...
What makes you think he'd start drinking now?
Because there is so much riding on this election. There's so much pressure on him. I'm sure he thought that...
There's been many times, if I could just jump in.
Go ahead, Mr. Dooley.
Many times I go home from work and I pour myself three fingers of bourbon just to kind of take the edge off the dance for the president.
Yeah, what my husband's saying is, at the end of a day, you pour yourself two or three fingers of bourbon in the bottom of a glass to try and take the edge off. And
that's what President Bush did tonight.
I don't know. I'm saying it looks that way. And there's a concern there.
And I'm hearing some splash. Are you guys swimming or something?
No, Phil. I'm actually soaking in a tub. We've had planning our fall-tacular. There's a lot of things we've got going on here. I've been on my feet all day registering my boys for school. Actually, registering one of my boys for music class. I do attend a Democratic women's group. I went out, did some grocery shopping, so I'm just trying to soak a little bit.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Bobby and Steve Dooley join me, and we're talking about the debate tonight. Ms. Dooley has, and her husband both have put forward the belief or the impression that President Bush appeared to have perhaps have imbibed, maybe had a drink or two before he went on stage. I made the point the president doesn't drink. They said, well, that's what he says, or that he was popping pills, and that it might be dangerous to have him consulting with world leaders with bags under his eyes, looking as if he just slept one off. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Bobby and Steve Dooley from Western Estates Homeowners Association. And your comments about President Bush, you watched the debate tonight. Your comment about President Bush looking as if he might have had a blast.
I didn't say that, Phil. I said he looked as if he might have had a drink.
Well, I think your husband said he looked like he had a blast before the debate started. In your thinking, is there any room for the possibility this man was just simply fatigued?
I think when you're the President of the United States and you have... Phil, you have to understand something about being President. You have an enormous staff of people that are helping you, butlers and this kind of thing. So when you say he's tired...
With the office, with the work of the office, with the work of being President... Certainly, they're in the state of Florida with the hurricane relief.
Well, he's not doing any of the hurricane relief. He's down there.
I'm not saying that he's doing the hurricane relief.
But he's down there, and he gets out of the helicopter anyways. I just don't know the point you're trying to make. I'm saying I don't want a president who may go to China and meet with the president of China and have this Chinaman look at him and say, you know, did they send an alcoholic here? That's what I'm worried about.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Kelly on the Phil Hendry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Kelly?
Yes, I found your last caller perhaps has had too much experience with feeling what it feels like maybe the night over, the night after, or pill popping herself. The whole comment
I think
was,
that's so unnecessary. I didn't, you know, I'm not trying to. I don't take pills.
But then
that
but
way.
You know what it looks like.
That way.
You know what it, but you know
well,
what
I'm,
it looks
I'm sure
like.
We
looks
all
like.
Know. Are you a mother? Every mother knows what it, you must know what these things look like to detect it in your own children, of course. If you're not a mother, then you wouldn't understand. But
I'm a mother.
Well, then
you should know
if your children have been using drugs. And the telltale signs are available from your local sheriff station.
Thank you very much. And you also made comment that if you know, speaking to the American people, what it's like to be president, then you would know what it was like to be tired, or you would know what... Do you know? You're asking me if I know? No, maybe I don't, but you do.
Well,
so I'm to take my advice now from you.
Well, the president has butlers. Well, Mr. Henry said he was tired. And
how
I don't
many
understand.
Butlers does Kerry have? Kerry's not president. He's got more butlers than the president.
Well, Senator Kerry is gets
well,
more.
Let me tell you this:
Senator
for you
Kerry
to say that you
not...
are undecided going into this debate is the most asinine thing I believe I've heard this year.
I was completely undecided. Why? I don't understand why the tax.
Did you say that it looks like Bush has been tidying up to a bar? Let me tell you the most thing that made me respect Bush. Was when they asked him, and I'm grateful that they asked him first, what, as far as the character of the people went, would separate him from Kerry. He spent the first minute of his time building up Kerry, respecting Kerry, giving him his rightful duty. Kerry would never do that for President Bush. And you know what that did? It didn't
really good
speak
point,
to Kerry's
Kelly.
Character.
Yeah.
It spoke to Bush's character.
You know, that was a really, that's a good point. The first thing that the president said was about Senator Kerry was a very highly flattering thing about him. And people say that this is a man...
well, you know, President Bush lied about Iraq, so why wouldn't he lie about the whole...
He did not lie about Iraq. He was given the same misinformation that Kerry was given, which he voted for as well.
But he's the president. He's supposed to be smarter.
Yeah,
okay, so he's smarter than Kerry. So you've just said that Kerry's no smarter than Bush.
Well, but how smart can he be if he had, if he's next to a jug before a debate? And
what do you mean next to a jug?
Well, you know,
this is completely unfounded information. You're trying to say something. You know.
Well, how do we know Bush didn't have his head in the vat last night, Zarza?
What do you mean Bush had his?
You know, Kerry. You know,
well,
have a woman under his podium like the last Democrat. You know, we can make up anything.
Well, because there's no reason. But President Bush was...
Yeah, why do you think President Bush was drunk?
He was slurring and leaning, bumped into the podium, looked like he was going to fall down.
Excuse me, I'm a woman from Georgia, and there is a Texas flagger, it's called.
Well, I just think that he might have had... he was sleeping one off, that's all. And maybe was feeling the effects of some Valium or something that he took.
All right. Look at Kelly. Thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8666. So now the guy's gone from sleeping one off to popping Valium. Here is Mike on the Phil Henry Show. Mike.
Hi. How you doing tonight?
Good, sir. Yeah.
I just want to make an observation. I've been in law enforcement for over 25 years, and I've done a lot of DUIs and all. And obviously, I don't know what your professional background is, but you don't know what you're looking at because his eyes weren't watering. They weren't bloodshot. His speech was not slurred. And if I had to do a gaze and nystagmus test on him, he would have passed without any problem at all.
How come I couldn't understand what he was saying?
You probably weren't listening then, because I had no problem at all, and I'm listening on an AM radio in a Jeep.
Well, then why did he, why when he walked up to the podium, did he kind of fall into the podium like that?
Do you ever think that maybe there's a nail in the floor or something like that?
Well,
you know,
like,
anybody.
Well, then someone had to steady him, though. I noticed someone got him, kind of grabbed him. And
nobody steadied him.
Oh, please.
No, I saw a campaign worker... steady him and bring a cup of coffee or something.
I don't think
I didn't see that.
I think, you know, this is just somebody making a statement that doesn't know what they're talking about, trying to inject something like a magazine rag at the local Safeway or something like that.
So you didn't see a campaign worker bring a styrofoam cup of 7-Eleven coffee?
Well, I thought you ever think it might be water and maybe the man was thirsty?
No. This was in a 7-Eleven cup.
This is in a 7-Eleven cup?
Yes, sir.
And you knew that because?
Well, they have the colors. What are these?
You're like a red, you know, the stripes on it.
Yeah, that could be about 10 different other things also. Gee, maybe
all right,
a Dixie
cup. Maybe it was Winchell's. Maybe it was Winchell's. But it was...
Yeah. Hey,
you mean somebody went out to...
just donuts, you know?
Somebody went out to Winchell's and got him a cup of coffee.
Even if they did, you're making an accusation around the block that the man was intoxicated or just coming off of something, and you're just trying to inject something, trying to get people to start thinking he's drinking again, which he's not. And
well, no, I would never do that.
What are you doing, the dishes or taking a shower or what?
I'm in a bathtub.
Oh, now there's a thought I want to get in mind. We'll have film and story at 11. Anyway, thank you for your time, radio host.
You
and
really
I hope you,
law enforcement.
You go to church on Sunday and
I'm
ask God to forgive you for what you're doing.
I'm soaking in a tub. I'm soaking in a tub.
What was that strange bulge in his coat pocket, too?
You know, you obviously didn't see any signs of intoxication because you listened to the debate in a Jeep.
God.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Go to Terry here on the Phil Henry Show. Terry?
Terry.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm calling from Chattanooga.
Wait a minute, Terry, you're calling from Chattanooga? Because on the screen it says Chattanooga.
No, Terry. This is Terry.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
Chris, Chattanooga is spelled with two O's, not one.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, is that your trainer?
Yeah,
I got a point to make with this woman.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you were talking, I was just listening. I've been on hold. People that are alcoholics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Look, us Southerners have a different way of talking. We gesticulation differently than other people do.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, just because you think you may be drunk,
well,
he's not drunk.
Can I ask you a question? Where is moonshine from? Where is moonshine from? You got it, from the South.
Well, Kodiak, Tennessee, right up by Knoxville.
Okay, there you go.
The Lord made it.
Well, if the Lord made it, why isn't it up north? It's down south, I think.
Because you're not damn smart enough.
A tradition.
George W. is.
Mm-hmm. There's a tradition in the South to overextend oneself with alcohol, especially the moonshine and that kind of thing.
Now, look, honey, I'll overextend my credit.
You know,
I'll overextend my reputation.
You know, I'm
but
not
I ain't
your honey,
overextending
okay.
my moonshine.
Well, okay, Terry, you're really boring. But I tell you what, why don't you... go on up to the still and get yourself another big tin cup of it. That would be a lot of fun. And
all right, look, insulting my callers is not going to get you any more points with people saying that Bush looked like he was next to a jug. Bobby and Steve Dooley think President Bush was drunk. As if the guy hasn't already lost the debate, at least in the flash polls. Now they're saying the guy was juiced when he was up there. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We got Jay Santos on our show last night. Jay was on talking about the debate and the upcoming debates and, you know, saying that this might be a prime time for terrorists to attack anyone who shows an overt love of this country. They may be a Bush supporter. In fact, he's dropping flares, he calls it a flare drop, and ripping American flag decals and Marine Corps decals off of cars. Jay's with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. It's like a neighborhood watch patrol, but he thinks he's like, he thinks he's like Tommy Lee Jones in The Fugitive. Here's Jay.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I'll tell you what, this guy here, he goes around peeling flags, American flags off of people's vehicles. Somebody's going to beat the tar out of him. I know... I would if he tried to take my flag off or tried to...
Well, sir, I certainly don't want to cause any kind of a confrontation with a citizen. What we are trying to do is protect the lives of citizens by
How do you call that? How do you call that protection when you're taking our rights away from us? I'm a veteran, bud.
Yes, sir.
And I proudly got a license tag, a veteran's tag, and I proudly display that. Now, how do you figure you're protecting me by trying to take that off? That sounds like some kind of a socialist thing.
Well, sir, first of all, what were you a veteran of what, sir?
I was in the U.S. Army.
Did you see action, sir?
I can't discuss that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, sure. This guy's a nut.
Well, what do you say
I'm
is
not a nut?
Well,
I
can't discuss that.
I was in the 1st 75th Ranger Battalion. That's all I can really tell you.
Well, you could make it up. Say you're like in Russia or some deal like that. Yeah,
no, sir, I was in South America.
He wasn't in Russia. First of all, Robert, I want to ask you, you are a veteran. You have what? Do you have an Army sticker, a veteran sticker, something like that?
Yes, sir,
all right.
I do.
Robert, all I'm trying to do is you survive combat to come back to this wonderful country of ours. Now, why do you want to drive around basically with a big sticker on saying, hi, if you're a terrorist, please put C4 under my engine block. I mean, because that's, well, you can laugh at that if you want to.
You're funny because
why is it
going to happen? You're
you are you are asking terrorists all over the world to come to the United States at a time when we are having our debates, blow something up or cause all kinds of, you know, this kind of nonsense. And the next thing you know, people can't concentrate on the debates. They cast an uninformed vote.
You know, dude, you sound like a
and then John Kerry
like a wannabe cop.
Sure.
That's going around trying to do, you know, you sound like a socialist.
All right, you need to back.
This is the United States of America.
You may have survived.
We fought for our freedom to fly our flags on our cars, on our homes.
Sir, why would you want to keep the decal on
balls like you trying to take them off? And
sir, you need to back up just a step. You need to back up a step here now. Why would you have survived combat only to come back here to America, keep a decal on your car, and force me to take it to the next level? And I don't want to do that.
You ain't going to do it. That's what I'm telling you. You're going to get pummeled. You try to take my
Jay. What do you mean take it
flag off of my or my license tag off of my vehicle? I'm going to pummel you,
sir. You need to back up two steps. You know, keep your hands off of me, and let's talk about this. Now,
I'm just telling you. You know, I'm just telling you the facts.
I know
there's probably millions of Americans that feel as passionate as I do.
The problem is, if I could jump in, is that you don't have the legal authority, Jay.
Mr. Mayor, you have said that over and over. You are wrong. I have citizens' arrest power. I also have national security.
I have citizens' arrest power.
Well,
I'm
not doing nothing wrong.
I'm
going to arrest
you for you if you touch my vehicle.
Okay. You want to take it to the next level, well, you know, there's an easy way and a hard way.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
So there's Jay Sanos arguing with another guy about, you know, ripping something off the guy's truck, and the guy's going to kick his ass. It's always great when Jay says, I'm going to do something to your car, man. Boy, I'll tell you, women and their kids, men and their cars, it just never fails. They'll kill, the women will kill for their kids. A man will kill for his kids, too, but he'll also kill for his car. 1-800-449-8686. Just a debate fact check. Self-serving oversimplification marked the first presidential debate as Bush and Kerry made their case on Iraq and a broad canvas of foreign policy. Bush twice suggested al-Qaeda is a vastly diminished force at the top, saying at one point 75% of known al-Qaeda leaders have been brought to justice. But, in checking the facts, al-Qaeda is still considered a mortal danger in part because it refills its ranks in leadership. The president was referring to deaths or arrests of operatives who powered al-Qaeda when it mounted the September 11th attacks, not those behind the organization today. On that same point, Senator Kerry said we should be going after bin Laden, but in point of fact, bin Laden is not the main guy behind al-Qaeda. It's Zakari, who is very much in Iraq right now. Kerry stretched in accusing Bush of spending too little. A lot of you guys may not know this, but listen to this. Kerry stretched in accusing Bush of spending too little on homeland security and too much in giving tax cuts to the rich. He said that we spent $200 billion on the Iraq war. An analysis at the Annenberg School for Communication found that the true cost of the war has been under $120 billion so far, and that Kerry reaches his figure by counting money scheduled to be spent next year, but that hasn't been requested yet and has not yet been authorized by Congress. And then finally, Kerry overstepped a little bit in accusing Bush of letting bin Laden get away. There was never any definitive conclusion bin Laden was in the caves of Tora Bora in December of 2001. There's also another statement. He said that weapons of mass destruction were crossing the border every single day into Iraq. What he meant was terrorists, not weapons of mass destruction crossing the border. Just little things. There's also some larger things, but we already said, looks like Kerry won a debate tonight on substance over style. I mean, if the cat won the debate, it's because he looked way better in a suit tonight than President Bush did. But what are you going to do, you know? Hey, the way I got it figured, if we elect Kerry, I'm going to have like 4 solid years of material. It's going to be fantastic. Could be ugly, could get a little nasty, but it'll be great. I hope the guy comes through on the stuff he's now saying, because I, you know, like for a year, you don't know where this cat stands. Now he says, now he's totally committed to the war in Iraq, and he's going to go in there, and he's going to really kick some ass. He's going to fight terrorists wherever he finds them, and it was something that he didn't want to do, like last month. Well, we'll see. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
So we watched the debate, and we came away with our conclusion that Senator Kerry won on the style question, and President Bush won on the substance question. And that's been verified in my mind, just the few calls that we took, especially Bobby Dooley, who said that President Bush looked as if maybe he'd been pill-popping. Or as her husband said, he looks as if maybe he'd been next to a jug. You know, the president looked like he was tired during the second half of the debate. The other thing that I think that Bush might have done a little bit better was he kept hammering that we're doing the right thing in Iraq, we're doing the right thing in Iraq. And that's cool, you know, and I'm sure that he had people telling him, hey, man, lay that message out there because the American people, the polls indicate that, you know, Kerry is really starting to slip in terms of credibility. So just lay it out there. What they didn't tell him, what they should have told him, I think, is why are we doing the right thing in Iraq? Get specific. I can do it. And I ain't even running for president. I've been doing it like here, you know, since the war in Iraq started, I've been doing it. I've been very specific about the idea that terrorism is a global threat. It isn't something that just is sitting in Tora Bora. If you think that that's the case, then it's like saying, well, you know, since the Japanese attacked us, you know, that whole argument that people use, that it really is sensible. Why'd we go to war against Germany when it was Japan that attacked us? Well, you know that they're in cahoots. I mean, they have a treaty. Yeah, that's exactly right. You don't find terror organizations signing treaties with each other. These guys don't get together over they're getting together over a martini or getting next to a jug like the president and saying, all right, great, handshake. All right, cool. Now, what we'll do is we'll blow up like the World Trade Center. You cats blow up that train in Spain. All right, beautiful. Yeah, all right. When you come out to the West Coast, by the way, man, let's go see a Dodger game. Like, yeah, that's what terrorists do. They get together and they have phone calls going back and forth. Ben?
Yeah?
So what, are you still over there in Tora Bora? What are you doing?
Who is this?
Zawari!
What are you calling me here for, man? I told you not to...
Well, I've got to get in touch with you, baby, because everybody says that you're still leading the thing. Everybody knows I'm the guy that's heading things up.
No, hold on for just a minute. You clear everything with me.
Clear everything with you? You're hiding out in a freaking cave eating rat meat. What do you know?
You're cutting off all these heads, too. Whose idea was that?
That's just a little touch that I added to it, man.
Well, I don't dig it. You're getting way more pressed than me, and...
All right, I'll tell you what we're going to do. You know, Saddam is inside. He's cooling it, man, so we can't really rely on him. Like, this is some, you know...
There is no real link.
I guess I would have done shtick. Hi, I'm Phil Hendry. I'm running for president. Say, listen, let me do some Bin Laden impressions here while we're kind of working up to this. I think Senator Kerry's a nice guy, a dude with a really big forehead. Personal comments, things like that. But people would say you're being really silly. That's what I really kind of is interesting. When I got into radio, not when I got into radio, when I got into the talk radio and I started doing shtick, right? And talk radio is a medium that's been run by news directors for so long that they really take themselves seriously in this particular format of radio. They really think they're forming opinion and all this. And the program directors are generally ex-news guys. They're not really ex-entertainment guys. So when I started doing talk radio and I was doing the shtick, I get these calls from, you know, the station. We get complaint calls from people saying, he's dumbing down the station, right? This coming from an American people that dumb down every election they're involved in. I mean, it's all about whether his shirt's pressed or not and whether the guy's got sleep in his eyes. Forget about the substance of what the guy's saying. Like tonight. I thought Kerry made a very good presentation, and I think he tactically scored points by hammering away at what he says is the mess of Iraq, and the president didn't counter that. Now, that's something you can counter. You say, well, this, Iraq is a mess. The president should have said, you know, the situation with our troops is far more positive than people are reporting, including you, Senator. The troops are scoring gains. They're consolidating. The Iraqi people support them. We have the actual eyewitness testimony of soldiers and the Iraqi people themselves saying that things have improved in their country. It's dangerous, but that's what happens when a power vacuum occurs. I mean, I suppose there's a lot of things you could say. Maybe people would get it. Maybe they wouldn't. And maybe the president was told, I'll tell you what you do. Just keep the message simple. Well, I want to say things. Well, they're not going to get it, George. So he kept it a little too simple, and it was boom, 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 hammer, hammer, hammer. We're doing the right thing, doing the right thing. And Kerry's message came over, I think, better because he looks better. He looked better tonight anyway. And the president, a little informal, kind of, you know, shrugging his shoulder. That's the cat. That's the guy that he is, right? But the people of this country, that's how they decide who wants to be president of the United States, how the guy looks on TV. So I will predict, unless Bush makes a recovery in the next couple of debates, that Kerry is going to get elected. If this trend continues, he's going to get elected president of the United States. And you know what that means? That means the Democratic Party is going to figure they're doing the right thing, and they're going to keep doing this crap that they're doing, which is just be anti-Republican. Don't stand for anything. Just be anti-Republican. And then I'm really going to have to consider, like, dropping out of the Democratic Party and just going full commie. I'm just going to go full-on commie. Full-on socialist commie Nazi. I'm going to form the Socialist Commie Nazi Party of America, and we're all going to be strutting around with swastikas, hammers and sickles, those funny little Charlie Chaplin mustaches, and like a ponytail. Boy, that's... Woo! Maybe there's a reason Halloween and Election Day are so close together. For the last six presidential elections since Ronald Reagan's first victory, sales of rubber Halloween masks caricaturing the Republican and Democratic candidates have predicted the next president, according to an internet costume seller. And so far, the big seller is President Bush's face. Whatever, man. I just want to, you know, all I want is, I want to maintain my lifestyle. I hope that when he starts taxing all the rich people, it doesn't cut into me too much. I think we should plan for a Kerry presidency right now. Okay, you ready? All right. The cat gets elected president. First thing he's going to do is get a whole summit thing going on with the French and all these guys and the UN. And so, like, say to the guys in Iraq, okay, just cool your jets. I'm going to go over and I'm going to rap with the cats in, you know, and meanwhile, our troops are over there going, okay, so what does that mean? Well, we're going to do this. We're going to kick ass, but we're going to do it with a coalition. We're not going to, so you guys are going to get some help. Oh, okay. What do we do in the meantime? Well, just kind of hold your position over there. Don't do anything to piss off the Germans. No, just hold your position. Now he'll go over and he'll rap with the Germans and the British and all of this. And suddenly they're all going to get religion and they say, well, not because Kerry's president. He's more persuasive. He's going to talk us into being a part of the Iraq thing. So we'll probably still be sustaining 90% of the casualties, but maybe only 50% of the debt. Because there ain't no way in hell the Germans or the French or any of those guys are going to put troops in Iraq. They may start picking up some of the cost. So now we'll get more bread to fight the war in Iraq. What does that mean? I guess we're going to get better equipment, better Humvees, stuff like that. Put guys on the border and interdict all these terrorists that are coming into Iraq. Kind of like the way we keep illegal Mexicans out of our country. Oh, excuse me. I didn't mean to bring that up. Sorry. And I'll tell you what, if we ever do figure out how to keep those terrorists from going into Iraq, we bring it on over here, man. Then we can keep the illegal immigration problem down, which everybody's complaining about. We ain't even figured out how to do it here. That was a point that, like, Senator Kerry made, nobody figured out. We can't do it in this country. How are we going to do it over in Iraq, sir? But like I said, he looked good saying all this stuff. So he got the big points on that. I scored it 8-4 on style for Kerry, 8-4 on substance for Bush. Knowing the American people are into style over substance, Kerry wins. And guess what? I looked on the website, the flash polls, Kerry wins. Do I call it or do I call it, baby? Do I know my country? Do I know my people or do I know my people? It's like 30 years in radio and 14 of them in talk radio talking to folks. You finally get a clue about a few things. If a guy looks really cool, calm, and collected, and he says he's going to do all the cool stuff, 9 times out of 10, people are going to vote for the guy. And saying you're going to tax the rich, that really sometimes is like the one that pushes you over the top. Never mind that a lot of those rich guys you're going to tax are actually guys that own businesses that employ people. Forget that. Being a Democrat, being a real Democrat, which is what I am, doesn't mean that you're always in favor of taxing and you're always against a war. It means that you believe, more than Republicans, in the good that government in association with business can create. It means that government can have a positive impact on people's lives by involving itself when it should and backing away when it shouldn't, it doesn't mean we're automatically anti-war. But that was the Democratic Party that I joined as a young man because I admired John Kennedy, who was a Democrat that cut taxes, and Franklin Roosevelt, who was a Democrat that kicked ass. That party doesn't exist anymore. I'm the only Democrat left. Everybody else is got a thumb parked somewhere, man. I think they're in their hot tub with their thumb up their jet. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.